no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, your weekly hour of radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Once you're done listening to this podcast, remember to visit RelicRadio.com. There's thousands of other old-time radio episodes there for you to listen to, past episodes from this one and the series you'll hear today. And of course, you can donate while you're at the website if you'd like to help support this and all of the shows. Thanks to those who have. This week, we're going to start off with Gunsmoke. Hear their episode from December 20th, 1952, titled Christmas Story. After that, it's Listener's Playhouse and Christmas Eve at Crump's, their episode from December 21st, 1940.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Everything was all right until about a mile north of the Cimarron. That's when my horse got a hoof caught in a frozen dog hole and broke his leg. So I had to shoot him. It made me feel awful bad. I didn't feel any better thinking about the walk ahead of me. Close to 40 miles to Dodge and carrying my saddle all the way. Guess I'd been on the trail about an hour. Near as I could figure, it was around 3 in the afternoon. And I'd ease the saddle off my shoulders for a rest and a smoke. And that's when I saw the stranger riding up from the way I'd come. He was tall and thin, and his horse was taller and even thinner. And they made quite a pair.
Hi.
How are you?
You lost?
No. My horse busted his leg a way back. I'm on my way to Dodge.
Oh, it's your horse, huh? I saw it.
Yeah.
On your way to Dodge, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
You got any more of that tobacco?
Yeah, sure. Here you are.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
That's okay.
A big walk you've got ahead, ain't it?
Kinda.
It's going to be dark soon. You figure making camp?
That's the idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's too bad.
Yeah.
Do you need any food?
No, thanks. I got enough.
Uh-huh. Well, I thank you for the tobacco.
Sure. Anytime.
Hey.
Yeah?
Not saying this beast won't drop dead from the shock, but do you want to climb on behind? Save you a piece of boot leather for a while, anyway.
Well, I'd be much obliged if you think that animal of yours can carry us.
Well, she won't mind. She should have been dead a long time ago, except she don't know it. She don't mind.
Well, okay, thanks. Here, will you hold my saddle till I get up, huh?
Yeah, give it here.
Yeah.
Can you manage the saddle?
Yeah, give it to me. Yeah, I got it. Now, let's go. You heading for Dodge, too?
Not in particular. Just north.
Uh-huh.
This beast will do about 10 knots with the wind behind her, but we ain't going to get more than 5 with this load. You ain't in no hurry, are you?
Well, I was kind of hoping to get back tonight. It's Christmas Eve, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
That backbone of hers sticking into you?
Oh, no, it's okay. Thanks.
Notice that tin doojigger tied to you. You with the law?
Yeah, I'm a U.S. Marshal. My name's Matt Dillon.
That's so. I never seen a marshal on foot.
Well, it happens sometimes.
How is it you're down this way? Isn't it to mite off your course?
Hmm?
So you marshal down here as well as Dodge?
No, I just took a prisoner across the Cimarron into Oklahoma territory. Turned him over to the army there.
Did,
And then he shut up tight. We must have ridden a couple of miles without a word. I got to thinking about Dodge and Chester and Doc and Kitty and the rest of them. You know, there's something pretty special about any place at Christmas time. The backbone of a stranger's nag was just about to split me in two when he talked up.
My name is Cowley.
Amos
Cowley. Better heave to a spell. She's breathing mighty hard.
All right, hold up. Yeah, it's getting a little chilly, isn't it?
Yeah. Could I trouble you for another smoke?
Oh, sure. Here you are.
I thank you. Say, What's it like in Dodge?
What?
Dodge, what's it like?
Oh, it's like any other town, I guess.
Pretty big, huh?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Not so big as New York, though.
No, not as big as that.
You know, I haven't been in a big town now for more than 10 years.
Oh, is that so?
No. Been down the territories, drifting. Thought I'd move up north this time, maybe go back east.
Now you're from the east, huh?
Some time back. Say, what's it like?
What?
Well, Dodge, any town, at Christmas. Same as it used to be?
Well, I guess so.
What do you do?
Well, same as most people, I guess. What most people do at Christmas.
Well, that ain't saying a lot. What are the folks like? And what does it look like? I just kind of like to know.
Well, I don't know. There's Front Street. That's most of Dodge right now. Of course, it's getting bigger all the time.
Do you have any kids?
No, I'm not married.
Kids have fun Christmas.
Yeah, they do. That's certain. And Dodge, they sometimes have a party for the kids a couple of days before Christmas. Kids like that. And then everybody gets feeling good, looking forward to Christmas Eve. Like last year. There was snow on the ground, but the sky was clear. You could even see the stars. I was going down the street to the Texas Trail to meet Doc and Chester. Chester, he's my deputy. Doc's a doctor in town. We had some work to do later on in the evening. You could see the light shining behind the curtained windows, and almost everybody had a sprig of holly berries hanging up. They got some from the east a couple of days earlier. I remember running into John Bumby. He's a kind of general handyman in Dodge. Never says much, but he sure had a lot to say that night.
Oh, hello, Marshal.
Oh, hi, John.
A lovely night for Christmas Eve, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is, John.
Yeah.
Pretty fine night.
Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, that's the way it should be, John.
You know, Marshal, this is going to be quite a night for me. Yes, sir.
Oh, is that so?
Oh, yes, sir. Tonight, I'm asking Mrs. McNish to become Mrs. Bumby.
What? Why, John, I didn't know that.
Oh, I know. It's been a mighty fast secret, but I'm popping the question tonight.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck, John. Hey, I'll tell you what. Come by to the Texas Trail later and we'll have a drink on it.
Oh, I will. I really will, Marshal. You're good and kind, Marshal. Good and kind. Merry Christmas, Marshal Dillon. Merry Christmas.
Well, the same to you, John. That may sound kind of funny to you, but John Bumby's a good man. A little peculiar sometimes, but good as they come. And they don't make enough like him. Of course, most everybody in Dodge suspected Doc and Ms. McNish were sweet on each other. But it just goes to show you. I'll tell you about John and Ms. McNish a little later. So I went on down the street. You know, it's a funny thing about those words, Merry Christmas. Men say it to each other, and, well, it makes them feel kind of good.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Used to be a seafaring man myself. When you're on the sea and it comes Christmas, things like that can count a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well get underway again, huh?
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, you want to take my saddle?
Give it here.
Okay. Right. Give it to me.
Okay. Come on. I guess you'll miss it in Dodge tonight. I mean, won't you?
Well, if you could get a little more out of this nag of yours, we might make it tonight.
Oh, there's not a chance. She'll be on her beam ends pretty quick. She's been on a long reach since sunup.
Ah.
Mighty bare country up this way.
Oh, it depends on what you're used to, I suppose.
Well, mighty bare where I've been, too. It's not like the sea. That's always different.
How come you left it? I always heard a sailor doesn't ever get it out of his blood.
The sea? I guess you can get it out of your blood, all right. You got the right reason you can.
Yeah, I guess so.
Say, you trying to get something out of me?
But, well, no. Get what? I would just remind
you. You want to ride with me? I don't want any talk about the sea.
Well, you brought it up.
Get it.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment, but first, tomorrow night, Jack Benny and his whole fun-making gang make a personal appearance at a Long Beach, California Veterans Hospital. It's going to be a Christmas they'll never forget, as Benny and the bunch cut loose while they assist the folks at the hospital in trimming their Christmas tree. Be sure to join the fun tomorrow night on CBS Radio, when it's Jack Benny time all across America. Now for the second act of Gunsmoke.
Amos Cowley sulked his way along the trail for the next while. And then it was almost like he couldn't stand the quiet. Or maybe he had things on his mind. He turned his head.
Go on.
What?
Go on, tell me some more.
Oh, about Dodge?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Well, you try some more, huh?
Well, they got a little pine tree in the Texas Trail.
A tree?
Yeah, come down a long way from the north. Kitty Russell, she's a hostess in the Texas Trail. Well, she got a lot of ribbon and gewgaws and made it look real nice. That was last Christmas.
Have a star at the top?
A star?
Yeah,
I think so. It looked like a star, I guess. It sure looked pretty. And there was a difference in the place that day. Everybody was celebrating and feeling real good. The doors would swing open and somebody would come in and, you know, maybe somebody you just knew to nod at, but because it was Christmas Eve, he'd come right up and say, hello. Oh, maybe that's a good reason, maybe not. I don't know.
All right, I'll tell you.
Anyhow, it was still kind of early.
Just wait, you two.
Kitty and Chester were standing off looking at the tree.
Hi,
Matt.
Good evening, Mr. Dillon.
Hi, Kitty. Hi, Chester.
How do you like it, Matt? Christmas tree.
That's yours.
Oh, that's real pretty.
Only tree but one in the whole town.
Yeah, Kate's got one over the Alfaganza.
Oh, well, I'll have to see it later.
Sure, you're next.
Where's Sam?
I don't know. Maybe he started celebrating too soon.
Oh.
Doc's taking over the bar.
Yeah, that's right.
You want a drink, Kitty?
Sure.
All right, I'll get you a drink.
You haven't forgotten anything, have you, Mr. Dillon?
Forgotten? What, Chester?
There. What did I tell you, Miss Kitty? I knew just as sure as my nose that
you'd
forgotten.
Oh, that. No, no. I hadn't forgotten.
Oh, well... I thought as soon as they get Sam sober enough to take care of the customers, we could go on over to Doc's like we planned.
Sure, we'll do that, Chester.
Here you are, Matt.
Ah, thanks, Doc. Ah, oh.
Yeah, well, it's still snowing out.
No, it's not. Where are you going, Kitty?
All right, just want to look outside. Ah, real pretty.
Man thinks of a lot of funny things that don't mean much. Kitty standing at the door, sniffing the cold air, and the warmth inside, and the whiskey in me. It was a good feeling. And then Chester and I decided to take a bottle over to Mr. Hightower. He's the telegraph operator over at the depot. He runs a printing shop on the side.
Say, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
Do you mind if I stop by the church for a minute?
No, I don't mind.
I just feel kind of right tonight, Mr. Dillon. Figure I ought to thank somebody for it.
Sure. So we stop by the church. I've never been much of a man for a church, I guess, but I went along with Chester. Wasn't anybody else there, just the two of us. Guess we sat for 10 minutes in that place. Chester a little way off with his head bowed. You know, there's a lot of peace in a church. Maybe it's the quiet. Maybe it's the good that people find in there. Whatever it was, it made a man feel glad about pretty much everything.
I haven't been in a church since I don't know when.
Oh, is that so?
I heaved to. Well, she's becalmed again, mister.
Okay.
She sure wasn't built for it, I'll tell you. You ever see anything like that?
She is kind of old, isn't she?
I've had her going on 8 years. She hasn't changed a mite. Eats like a pig and looks like a four-legged mizzenmast.
Smoke?
Don't mind. Hey, what about that fella Hightower? Did you get that bottle to him?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I guess it was lonely over in the depot all alone. He was glad for the company. There was a wood fire burning in the stove, but it didn't keep out the cold much.
Well, how are you, gents? Merry Christmas.
Well, how's it going, Mr. Hightower?
Oh, slow, Marshal, slow. Bit of excitement about an hour back, though.
That so?
Yeah. 9:15 got stuck between here and Hutchinson. Lots of snow back there.
They getting her out?
Sure, they're trying, but I'm sure glad I'm not on it. It's going to be a cold night on that train.
Well, it's kind of chilly in here, isn't it, Mr. Hightower?
Any warmer, and I'm going to sleep.
Say, we brought you over a bottle of Irish for company.
Jamesons, well, I declare I was just thinking about a tot before you boys come in. Now, that's real friendly. Will you have a drink with me?
We sure will.
Let's open her up, huh? A couple of glasses up on the shelf there, Chester. Get them down, will you?
I don't know if you get an idea about the folks in Dodge or not. They're not any different than any other people. Nor the town either. I guess maybe it's a pretty small place at that. The depot, the hall, a few stores, a church, Doc's office, a Texas Trail, Alafraganza, my office. Not much, but it's where you live, you know?
Sounds all right. I lived in a town once back east. Small. I know what you mean.
Well, maybe you'll be going back.
Maybe. Say, kids, they still believe in St. Nick?
Oh, sure.
Mighty few kids down where I've been. Injun kids, they don't believe in St. Nick.
No reason they should, I guess.
I used to believe in it, you know that?
Well, I guess most people did one time or another. Hey, you figure we come maybe 10 miles?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's getting dark.
Yeah. Well, come on. You want to ride the saddle for a bit?
Oh, no. That's okay.
Well, then, okay.
We rode on, and I thought about last year, about Kitty, Doc, and Chester and me going over to Doc's place after Doc got tired at Tendon Bar at the Texas Trail. It was about 12:45, and we stood around and sang Christmas carols. And I remember how it sounded that night, how it looked. The glow in the stove in the middle of the room, and the frosty windows. Yeah, it was Christmas Eve, all right.
That was so deep, nowhere, born is the King of Israel.
Say, that was fine. That was just fine.
Yes, it was.
Oh, gee. Say, now, what do you say if
hey,
we...
Hey,
listen.
Hey.
Huh?
Oh. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, I feel sentimental. That's exactly what I feel. I feel sentimental.
I know what you mean, Doc. I surely know.
Okay, Doc. Bring him out.
And I remember how Doc scuttled over to the bureau and brought out some packages. The presents weren't much, but it didn't matter what they were. And when we'd finished opening them, it was Chester who said what we were all thinking.
I just want to say, Miss Kitty, Doc, you, Mr. Dillon, I just want to say that this is the best doggone Christmas I ever had. And that's what I want to say.
Say, you was going to tell me about that fella John was caught in that woman. What was her name?
Oh, yeah. Miss McNish.
That's right.
Well, she said yes, and you've never seen two happier people in your whole life. Yeah, she's Miss McNish Bumby now.
Oh, that's good.
You know, you might settle for a bit in Dodge or you could get work there.
Sure would be fine if you could get back tonight, wouldn't it?
Well, it can't be helped. I'd be a lot further away and a sight more tired if you hadn't come along.
Yeah. Now, listen, how far do you figure before there's a place you might pick up a horse?
Oh, I don't know, 15 miles or so, maybe.
Oh, why? I'm not going to make any 15 miles in this nag tonight, that's for sure.
Oh, that's all right.
Now, I tell you what, you go on alone, you see.
Oh, no, forget
now,
it.
Now, you go on alone. She'd hold out with one man on her. And then you get a fresh horse and you ride into Dodge tonight.
Well, thanks. That's
now,
very
I'm
kind.
Telling you, I want you to go. I'll be fine. I've walked before. Probably make it almost as quick as you.
Look, it's real nice of you, Mr. Cowley, but no thanks.
Now, Christmas don't mean nothing to me.
You got friends waiting for you.
Well, I'll see them tomorrow.
Ah, you're a fool.
Well, that may be. All of them nice folks. I'm going to make them feel pretty bad.
Look, I'll stay. If you want to go on along, thanks for the ride.
Well, might as well make camp then.
I guess so.
And listen, you want to tell me some more about what you was telling me before we turn in?
Well, sure.
I take it kindly, mister. I'll get yourself settled. I got some stuff in my pack we can eat and maybe get a fire going. Then after we eat, you can tell me some more.
We made a fire and then shared what we had for supper. He seemed to soften up after that, and we talked for a couple or 3 hours. It was like he was starved for news of people, everyday things, and just plain company. And that's how we spent Christmas Eve together out on the plane. And then when the fire was dying down and
I was about ready for sleep, he said...
Marshal.
Yeah?
I want to tell you something. I've been needing to tell it for a long time. Do you mind?
Why, of course I don't mind.
Well, then I'll tell you. A few years ago, I was skipper of a little schooner. I used to sail up and down the East Coast, you know, Boston, New York.
Yeah.
Well, one night, we hit dirty weather off New Jersey, real dirty. Blew us off course, and we piled up on the rocks and knocked the bottom out.
That's too bad.
There was 18 passengers aboard, Marshal. 4 of them was kids. We never saw him again.
No.
And my own wife and my kid went down, too.
I'm sorry.
Well, now, something must have happened to me after that. I didn't want nothing to do with ships or the sea, and I started to drift out this way. I couldn't forget, though, do you know? And I didn't want to be near folks, especially kids, to remind me, do you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's how come I've been slewing around ever since.
Sure, I understand.
Just kind of wanted to get it off my chest.
Sure.
Marshal, I'd like to ride into Dodge with you tomorrow. You think I might meet some of them folks you was telling about?
Why? I don't see why not.
That'd be all right. Maybe I wouldn't need to drift no more. Maybe I could, drop anchored, you know.
Yeah, you might at that.
Yes. Well, good night.
Good night.
Merry Christmas, Marshal.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Cowley.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman MacDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Anthony Ellis, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, with Harry Bartell and John Daner. Parley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Gunsmoke is heard by our troops overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Tomorrow night, Edgar Bergen's real-life daughter, Candy, pays him and you a visit on The Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy. Candy and Charlie hit it off fine, but Edgar has cause to regret his hasty decision to invite his 6-year-old daughter into the show, especially when she starts throwing her voice. Sounds like fun tomorrow night on most of these same stations when CBS Radio presents The Edgar Bergen Show with Charlie McCarthy. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, Eve Arden is our Miss Brooks, teaches you how to laugh every Sunday on the CBS Radio Network. Listener's Playhouse of the National Broadcasting Company proudly presents Parker Fenley, the distinguished actor, in his own sketch, Christmas Eve at Crump's. Mr. Fenley will be assisted by Miss Carol Peterson. Old Eli Crump is the meanest man in town. Why, Eli Crump is so mean that... Well, but wait, here's the play. This is a story of Christmas Eve. Of Christmas Eve and old Eli Crump. Now, you've probably never heard of old Eli Crump in all your life, but... If you've ever driven through Sleepy Valley and asked, well, of course you wouldn't have asked such a question, but just supposing, you'd asked who was the meanest man in the village. Why, anybody there would have told you, and without giving your query a moment's thought, old Eli Crump. There's a narrow road leading north out of Sleepy Valley. It just kind of leads north for a ways, then it stops, a dead-end road. Well, at the end of that road, you'll find the Eli Crump place. Now, on Christmas Eve, as you'd naturally expect, there's snow on the roof of the weather-beaten house and the weather-beaten barn and the remnants of a slushy snow on the roadway. But there's nothing else that's in the spirit of the Christmas season there. No tinsel tree, no wreaths in the windows, no stockings hung before a crackling fire by little children. None of these tokens of this happiest time of the year, none at all. Only old Eli Crump, the meanest old man in town, sitting by his kitchen table while Comfort Crump, his unmarried sister, sits nearby in a rocker knitting. Let's eavesdrop, shall we?
You didn't kill a chicken, did you, Eli?
42 and 40 carry makes 46. What chicken?
Well, I thought we might have a chicken for dinner tomorrow.
I can't eat chicken. Too hearty. Gives me the dyspepsy. 46 and 3 is 49.
Don't give me dyspepsy. Man knows I ought to be used to going without by this time. But Christmas don't never seem like Christmas without a chicken or a turkey.
Turkey? My Godfrey, you talk like a millionaire. I ain't had a bite of turkey in 30 years. 52 and 7 makes 50.
Raise enough of them. Chickens, too, but we never get them.
I don't raise them for eating. Not when I can get money for them.
I don't know why other folks should have all the good things in the world.
Let them kill themselves, cramming their gullets with rich food like gluttons and wine bibbers, as the good book calls them. I don't care, long as they pay for it. Give me a good mess of corned beef and cabbage, Christmas Day or any other day. It's fill-in, and the price is somewhere near reasonable. 63 and 5 to carry.
Christmas only comes once a year.
Christmas don't mean nothing to me, except I always have trouble collecting my mortgage money the day after from that worthless whelp of Alonzo Puff. 68, that's right.
What in the world are you adding up there, over and over?
I guess you know what it is, all right. This grocery bill at Twynham's. I've been hoping they made a mistake in it, but I can't find none. You got to get rid of one of them fool tomcats of yours. They eat as much as a human being. Cat meat runs into money.
I won't do it. Them two cats is all I got in this world, and I ain't going to give them up.
Nobody keeps two cats anymore, except people on relief. Now here, says cat meat, 21 cents. Cat meat, 11 cents. Liver for cats, 30 cents. Cats living like the royal family.
They're always as hungry as all get out when I give them their victuals.
You pamper them. Let them go catch a mouse or a chickadee. They got to learn we're living in lean times. Was this all the mail, this outrageous bill from the store?
No. There's another letter in the paper and an almanac from the fertilizer company.
Where? I want to see my mail when there is some. Unless it's more bills, it's going to bankrupt me.
There it is right there. There's the paper and the other things is under it. Can't you see?
Well, I guess I got to get me a new pair of glasses. These has been cracked so long, they've commenced to grow together again. Say,
You know, this postage stamp ain't hardly canceled, so you can see it at all. Steam it off the envelope tomorrow when you get the kittle boiling. I'll use that. Every penny counts in this administration.
Where's the letter from?
I ain't got it open yet. Give me time, will you? Zadok Blaisdell, what's he on? Says, dear neighbor Eli, as you know, I am again running for the office of deputy sheriff. Some of my political opponents, are circulating lying reports about my letting those two prisoners escape from the county jail last month and suggesting that I was bribed. Knowing me, you will know better. Who will? Says, I hope that my many old friends will rally to support me in the coming special election and that I may be swept into office. Swept, yeah. All the dirt before the broom. If you can see your way clear to support me in my campaign and to use your influence with our fellow voters, I shall hope, to be able to return the favor in some way. Yours for honest law enforcement, Zadok Blaisdell. Return the favor. Never even returned the hatchet he borrowed from me back when Cleveland was president. I tell you, the man that gets my vote has got to pay for it. Anyway, Zadok is dishonest, I'm afraid.
Hark.
I won't hark neither. His mother was one of them no-good hearses.
Hark. I hear somebody, I mean.
Oh. What's anybody doing here tonight?
Listen, will you? Coming to the front door.
Messing up the piazza. I'll get rid of him.
No, you won't either. I'll take this lamp.
No, don't.
You light the other one on the mantelpiece if you don't want to set in the dark.
Wasting kerosene. Now, if they're selling something, tell them we don't want none.
Oh, all right. Maybe they've lost their way.
If they just want drinking water, tell them to eat snow. How much did you tell him you'd charge him for the room?
$1.50 for the three of them.
You could have got two just as easy as not. That front chamber's a mighty pleasant room. Hair wreath on the mantel and stuffed loon and all. How big's the young one?
Just a mite of a thing. Bright enough. Bright as a dollar. He's a nice-looking man in a peaked sort of a way. Pale as a ghost. Said they'd been driving since early morning. Got on this road by mistake. Didn't have gasoline enough to go much further. I told them that you could let them have some, but they said they'd stay over until tomorrow anyway.
Well, I've got gasoline in the barn, yes. It's for sale, too, at a price. They wouldn't get it at the regular rate, of course, under the circumstances.
I told them to get a good night's rest, and you'd help them out in the morning.
If they can pay for it.
I guess they can. He left his car out back of the house.
What's the female like?
Just a pretty little thing. They both of them looked dead tired. Except the little girl. She was wide awake. Guess likely she'd had a nap in the automobile.
They better keep her still in the morning. I ain't going to be waked up by no crying brat. If I don't sleep through till 5 o'clock, I get feeling bad all the next day. What'd you do with the $1.50?
I got it. Right here in my apron pocket.
Better let me carry it. Can't be too careful with strangers in the house. I was just noticing here in the newspaper... Another fellow escaped from the state's prison at Thomaston. Some doctor. Country's overrun with criminals, seems like. I don't know what the world's coming to. Dishonesty and greed and avarice everywhere. Give me the $1.50, Comfort. That'll help pay for your cat meat. Well, come on, Comfort, will you? That's it. Wait. This dollar bill's tore. Well, maybe it's all right. All right, now go on to bed. I'm going to set up for a spell longer. I got some more figuring to do here.
Figuring? Don't you never think of nothing but money?
Lucky for you that I don't, or you'd be in the poorhouse.
I guess the good Lord would take care of me.
I'm doing his work, Comfort. I'm his humble worker in the vineyard, trying to carry out his wishes as I see him. Amen. Why else do you suppose I'd be kind and patient with you? Shut the door, will you? You're wasting the heat. 8 and 6 is 14 and 3 is 17. Cat meat. Animals living on the fat of the land and not bringing in nothing. Six percent of 180 for 3 months is six. That's you, Comfort? What's the matter? You got heartburn? Yeah, too much.
It's me. What? I'm a little girl from upstairs.
What you doing awake?
I couldn't go to sleep. Are you the grandpa man?
Huh?
Are you the grandpa in this house?
No, and I ain't deaf neither. You better go back to bed. I'm busy here. 6 times 3 is 8.
You suppose there are funny pictures in that paper on the table?
I didn't see none. Just a couple of senators. You better go back to your folks.
I guess you don't like little girls.
I don't.
Oh, that's too bad. I guess you must be sick. My daddy says that when people are cross like you, it's because they're sick. It's their metabolism. I think that's what he said. Metabolism.
How's he know?
He's a doctor. And he's a very good doctor, too. He didn't have no right to go to prison.
Prison?
Oh, I guess you didn't know that, did you? And I'm not supposed to tell, either. My mommy said that I was never to tell anything about it to anybody. And don't you ever tell, will you?
What's your father's name?
Dr. Francis M. Conwell, M.D. We're going to get away into Canada tomorrow, and then maybe Alaska. Did you ever see any Eskimos?
No.
Did you ever see a whale?
Dr. Conwell, eh?
Or a polar bear?
No.
Don't you ever tell anybody, or I don't know what I'd do.
Your papa and mama asleep, are they?
Sound asleep. That's why I could come down to visit you without their hearing me. Did you ever see an igloo?
No, of course not. Was it the prison at Thomaston?
Yes. What are you doing?
I'm just looking at something in this newspaper here.
The senators?
No.
What's this thing here on the shelf? A radio?
Music box. Don't break it. Listen, you stay here for a minute, will you? I'm going out in the entryway.
Will it play music?
We don't ever play it no more. Here. Here's a picture book you can look at till I get back. Don't tear it.
I'm always very careful with books. The Pirate of the Golden Cave. Have you got another little girl here?
No.
A little boy?
No. There was a little girl once. That's an old book. I won't be gone long.
My gracious. These are horrible-looking pirates, all right.
Hello. Hello, Miss Pruitt? Yeah, get me Zadok Blaisdell, will you? No, Blaisdell, Zadok. Yeah. Dr. Conwell, eh? Hello, Zaid? Eli Crump, yeah. Well, I just got your letter. Well, I've been gone all day. Now, I'm willing to give you my support. Maybe. It all depends. Wait, I ain't got no time for long stories. I think I know how you could put a feather in your bonnet before election. Yeah. How'd you like to get the credit for catching a prisoner escaped from Thomaston? Never mind where he is now. I ain't going to tell you too much over this telephone, because there's 2 other people listening in, maybe 3. Oh, get off the line, Grandpa Stickles. I know you're on here. He's hung up now, I guess. Well, how about it, Zaid? Would it be worth something to you? Yeah, how much? Never mind. No, I wouldn't be interested in giving out no information for that much. But I'll tell you, if you was elected on the strength of it, I could use that woodlot your mother left you up opposite the burying ground. Well, never mind no maybes, is it a dicker? All right. Now, don't say nothing about it, but supposing you drop in here to my place soon as you can make it, huh? All right, then, yeah. Merry who? Oh, Merry Christmas. What's merry about it? All right.
You said only a minute. It was a lot more than that. I kept looking at the clock.
That clock's fast. I was just seeing the doors and windows was locked out there.
Could we play the music now, Mr.? I don't know what your name is.
Eli Crump.
Mine is Alice Jane Conwell. I'm pleased to meet you.
Alice?
Alice Jane Conwell. And I'm very pleased to meet you. Well, what's the matter?
Nothing. I had somebody named Alice once. That was my little girl's name. 40 years ago.
Oh, and she isn't...
She died. And her mother died, too. Same year. Young one died on Christmas Day. Since then, I've hated Christmas and everything about it.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Here, you can use this handkerchief if you want to. It's one of my daddy's big ones, but he wouldn't mind. See? It's got his initials on it. And you've been all alone ever since?
Yeah.
My mummy says that Christmas is the lonesomest day in the year for anybody who's all alone. That's why she made up her mind that we were never going to be away from our daddy another one. Of course, she had me, but then you've got your sister, haven't you? The lady who rented us the room. That is your sister, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Comfort. I don't know why.
Well, you've always got her.
Won't go to the old people's home.
Where?
Oh, nowheres.
Anyway, you won't have to eat your turkey all by yourself tomorrow, will you?
No.
I just love Christmas, but of course this time it won't be like other years, because there won't be any tree or presents. But we've got my father back, and that's worth more than trees or dolls or anything, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Was your little girl awful sick a long time? Oh, I guess maybe you'd rather not talk about it.
She wasn't sick long. She went sudden. And the mother died 6 weeks afterwards of sorrow. Folks here said I killed the little one. The mother blamed me, too. Oh, I don't know why I'm talking this way to you.
My mother says it helps people in trouble to talk about their sorrow. Never mind what people say. They say that about my daddy, too, in the town where we lived. But it isn't true. He gave the wrong medicine to an old, old lady.
Give the wrong medicine?
Told Mrs. Dutton. One night, he was all wore out. He had been up for 2 whole days and 2 whole nights. He was so tired, he must have just made a mistake.
Made a mistake?
Yes, but those other doctors in the big hospital were jealous of my daddy because he was such a wonderful surgeon, and they all turned against him. They said he'd been using narcotics. That's drugs. But it wasn't true. He was just tired, that's all.
And that's what he went to prison for?
Manslaughter. But it really wasn't a man at all. She was an old, old lady. Oh, I told you that, didn't I? Well, that's our family troubles. Maybe you'd like to tell me more about yours now. Your hand is shaking. You aren't sick, are you?
No.
Well, where are you going?
Nowheres. I'm just going to look out the window here.
For Sandy?
For who?
Santa Claus. I guess he never comes until after 12 o'clock, does he?
Santa Claus. I ain't thought about him for 40 years.
My goodness. You're pretty old, aren't you, Mr. Crump?
Yeah, I'm awful old.
Not 100. There's a car stopping in front of the house.
Yeah, so there is.
I don't believe that's Santa Claus, because he always comes with reindeer and sleigh, doesn't he?
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe we're going to see reindeers in Alaska.
Listen, you just step into the butler here for a minute, so... Come on, you'll be all right. Yeah, here's an apple for you. You can sit there on that peck measure. Leave the door open a crack if you want to, so you won't be scared of the dark. But don't you come out now, will you? I got to talk to this fellow that's coming all by myself.
All right. Don't you want me to see whoever it is?
I don't want him to see you. Keep still as a mouse now.
I will.
Well, how are you, Eli?
Say, Doc.
Merry Christmas.
Wipe your feet and sit down.
Well, I skied it right over here after you telephoned.
Yeah, I see you did. Don't talk too loud. You'll wake up Comfort.
How is your sister?
I can't see no change.
Sick?
No.
Well, what do you know?
What about?
Well, about what you called me up about.
Oh, that.
I got the idea that you had something pretty interesting that you wanted to tell me, and you couldn't go into detail over the wire.
Oh, yeah. About that doctor fella that got away from Thomaston Prison.
God almighty. What do you know about him?
Why, I think I catch sight of him.
When did you?
Tonight, just a little while ago.
Yeah? What makes you think it was him?
Why, I tell you, I was coming home from my other place on Injun Hill. Look, you didn't wipe your feet, now you got wet all over that rug. I was coming home, and a fellow waylaid me and asked directions.
Which way was he going? Towards Canada?
No, he was going south. Said he wanted to get to Boston.
Well, what made you think it was this fellow Cromwell?
Cornwell, not Cromwell. I recognized the picture in the paper here when I got home. And besides, the other fellow with him called him Doc.
Other feller?
Yeah, there was another man with him in the team.
Team?
A pair of roans and a long wagon. And I heard this second fellow calling him Doc.
Oh, well, I don't know. He was supposed to have been seen in a car with a woman, the way I got it.
Yeah, this was him, all right. I got a good look at him. He got out of the wagon to kind of stretch his legs, and I looked him square in the face. just like the picture in the Evening Star there. Besides, there was something else.
What?
He took a map out of his pocket while we was talking, and after he drove away, I picked up this handkerchief he'd pulled out with it. It was clean as a whistle, and I figured he owed something to me for my telling him the road, so I kept it. Look in the corner of it there. F.H.C.
Hmm.
Francis H. Conwell. That's what the paper says his name is.
Gory mighty. I guess you're right. If I can get him before somebody else does, it'll mean 2 more years in office.
You better get started.
He was on the Injun Hill Road headed towards Lisbon?
That's right, yeah.
Pararones.
And a man with a patch over his eye.
Patch over his eye? You never told me that.
I just thought of it. Big black patch. Better take your gun.
Well, I got it out in the car. 2 pair of handcuffs. Eli, if I get them, it'll mean a lot to the both of us. There's some good timber on that lot up there by the graveyard.
All right. We can talk about that later on. You better get going.
I guess I had. Duty calls, as they say. It's kind of too bad to be out in an errand like this on Christmas Eve.
Better the day, the better the deed.
That's right. And the law's the law. If I capture him, you'll get yours. That is, if it gets me elected again. If I can just catch sight of him.
Yeah, all right, if you can, yes.
Well, here's hoping. Happy Noel, as a Christmas card say.
Shut the door, the wind's cold.
Real Christmas weather. Good night.
All right, you can come out now. You were still as a mouse, all right, wasn't you? What's the matter? Cat got your tongue?
I think, if you'll excuse me, you told a lie. Maybe 2 or 3.
I've told a lot of them in my time.
I don't think anybody should ever tell a lie on Christmas Eve.
No, I guess maybe you're right. Nobody should, likely.
And why did you?
Because I thought I ought to help your folks and you get away to Canada.
Alaska.
Well, Alaska. Wherever it is your papa wants to get to.
Why did that man come here anyway?
Why...
Was he a policeman?
Sheriff. I told him to come. On the telephone a while ago.
After my daddy?
After your daddy. I didn't know about your daddy when I telephoned for him. I mean, I didn't know what kind
of... You thought he was a bad man.
That's right, yeah.
Before I told you.
Before you told me. I sent him out on kind of a wild goose chase so the 3 of you can get away from this town anyway without getting catched.
It was a pretty bad lie, I think. But I don't believe God will blame you.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think...
You think what?
Was it because my name is Alice and because you had a little girl named Alice once upon a time?
Partly. And partly because what your daddy done was like something I done once myself. Something that spoiled my life. And killed somebody who shouldn't never have died. 2 somebodies.
I guess I don't know for sure what you're talking about.
Never mind.
If you still have that handkerchief of my father's, I think you ought to wipe your eyes.
I got kind of a cold, I guess. That was pretty good about this handkerchief, wasn't it? That fooled him.
There never was any man with a tea masking the way to Boston, was there?
Not that I know of.
Or a man with a patch over his eye?
No patch.
That pirate in your picture book has one over his eye, too.
Yeah, that's where I got the idea.
You're a funny man. But I know the whole Dr. Conwell family is very grateful to you for your bad lies. Would you like to have me sit in your lap and show you the picture book?
Why, I don't...
I don't mind reading it to you a bit.
Well, all right.
Here's the book. Well, if you put that music box on the table here, where we could reach it, maybe we could listen to the music after we read the book through.
Through?
I'm not a bit sleepy. Not one tiny bit.
Maybe you'd rather hear the music box play first, huh?
Whichever you prefer.
I'll put it here on the table.
Does it have to be wound up?
Turn this handle. Yeah, you do it. A little more. That's enough.
Now, if you'd like to sit in this big chair here, I could sit in your knee and see the book nicely.
All right. Oh, dear. Up with you.
Am I too heavy for you?
Heavy. Don't weigh as much as a cat.
I love cats, don't you?
Well...
Do you have a cat?
My sister's got 2 of them.
Oh, gracious. That's just twice as good as one.
Yeah.
Now shall we start the music?
Push that little thing there.
This?
Yeah.
tunes does it play?
Just one. It's only a cheap music box.
Oh, I like that. It doesn't sing, does it?
No.
Do you know the words of that song?
Yep. I ain't heard that music box for a long, long time. She used to like to hear that tune. My little girl, when she was here.
What's the name of it?
Sweet Alice, Ben Bolt. She used to play it over and over. Her mother liked it, too. But after they went, I never played it again.
Until now.
Yep.
You're thinking of your little girl again, aren't you?
She was just about as big as you, and...
Maybe you'd like to read the book with me. It might kind of take your mind off your troubles. I guess I never should have asked to hear the music.
Yes, you should. Yes, you should. I'm glad you did.
I think you should use the handkerchief again, so you can see the pictures.
You going to read it to me?
I'll show you the pictures.
Ah.
There's the pirate.
Yes, sir, with the patch over his eye.
Just like that man you saw. Oh, you said you saw.
Yeah.
And here's his cave.
Yeah, his cave.
Full of gold. I wouldn't want to have as much gold as he had. Would you? I'd rather have two cats.
Well...
Over in the back of the book here, there's a picture of a fairy godmother. I think that's who she is. I guess somebody left off reading it here a long time ago. There's a piece of newspaper for a bookmark, I suppose. See? What makes it so yellow?
Yellow because it's old. Let me see that. I didn't know this was in here. It's been here since 1900.
1900? Goodness. What's it say?
Oh, nothing much. It's just a piece of paper.
That's your name, isn't it? E-L-I-C-R-U-M-P. Eli Crump. That's you. What's that next word? A-C-Q-U-I...
Acquitted.
I don't know what that means. Would you like to read it to me?
Eli Crump was acquitted yesterday of the charge of manslaughter. Crump's plea that he gave his small daughter Alice medicine from the wrong bottle by mistake while he was under the influence of liquor, drunk at the barn raising at Lisbon, was evidently credited by the jury.
Oh.
Now you see why I felt sorry for your father. I only hope he won't have the kind of punishment I've had ever since it happened. Because if he's going to, I'd wish him dead.
I'm kind of sleepy. Maybe if I could put my head back further.
I guess I ought to be taking you upstairs to your bed.
Oh, I like it here where it's warm.
Well, you want to play the music again?
No. Maybe if you'd sing to me, like my mommy does.
Sing? I couldn't sing no more than a crow.
Never heard a crow sing. Guess we'll see a lot of penguins up in Alaska, if we ever get there.
You're going to get there. At least I'm going to see that you get started out of here in the morning, safe and sound.
It sounds as if you wanted us to go.
I know. Not you. I wish... Godfrey, I wish you could stay on and on.
If you don't start to sing pretty soon, I'm afraid I'll be too sleepy to enjoy it.
All right. Remember, it's at your risk. I got to get you stowed away upstairs pretty soon, because I got some work to do before I go to bed.
Work?
Got to kill old Turkey Gobbler for tomorrow.
Well, that's right. Tomorrow's Christmas, isn't it? I've almost forgotten about it. I don't know where we'll be eating our turkey. Wish we could stay here to keep you company.
I wish so, too. I wish so, too, Alice.
Sing.
Oh, don't you remember, sweet Alice Ben Bolt? Sweet Alice, whose hair was so brown.
My hair is really yellow, isn't it?
Yeah. Who wept with delight when you gave her a smile and trembled with fear at you.
just heard Parker Fenley in the title role of his fine play, Christmas Eve at Crump's. The rest of the cast in tonight's performance included Agnes Young as Comfort, Joe Latham as Zadok, and little Carol Peterson as Alice. Christmas Eve at Crump's was a presentation of the Listener's Playhouse and came to you over the Blue Network of the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.
That's going to do it for the Relic Radio Show this week. Merry Christmas, everyone, and thank you for joining me. I'll be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.